Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, off and running on this Friday, January 16th, 2026. Hope everybody had a great week. Bill Buckmaster, along with Brendan Kraft, engineering and producing on the other side of the glass. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from central Tucson in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, part of the Bustos Media Center. And speaking of Green Things and Zocalo Village, we recorded our first podcast. Tim Steller is with me from the Arizona Daily Star, and he likes gardening. In fact, we'll probably call upon Tim to be a guest. Join Jan and myself for one of our podcasts out at Green Things. But anyway, it was fun going out to Green Things with all of our little podcast gear, that should be up at greenthingsaz.com, hopefully within a day or so. But I cannot believe, Tim Steller, the amount of inventory they have.
Oh yeah, the 13
acres.
Property is so huge,
it just
goes on and on.
Yeah.
Well, and I've had so much fun in here twice now. I've interviewed Deb North, the master gardener, and she just knows everything. And I stare out at my troubled citrus trees every morning and go, "What would Deb do?"
Yeah. Well, it's counterintuitive to think about trimming stuff. But as we point out in the podcast, you really need to get at the roses. And it's hard to do because some of the rose bushes look like, oh, there's a little green there. But you do need to give them quite a cutting. And that was one of the things that I learned about in the podcast, that roses need to be trimmed in January.
Oh, okay. So, I didn't know that. I don't have roses. I killed the only ones I had. So,
anyway, Tim Steller is with us. He is my co-media host today. Tim, Arizona's top columnist from the Arizona Press Club, also honored with the prestigious Don Bowles Award for Investigative Reporting. Tim, always a pleasure to see you. Our Friday Focus interview today, Pima County Attorney Laura Conover is with us, the chief legal officer for Pima County. Hey, Laura, how are you?
It's so nice to be here with you both. I'm relieved, Bill. I didn't know what I was going to do, to be honest.
When you were here in November,
that's right.
We thought we were going to maybe step aside completely from the show, and then I had Congresswoman Grijalva on the show a couple of weeks after you, and I was driving home, and I thought, I can't step away from this Friday show. I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I just felt, you know, it's too important a community service. I'm not going to walk away from it.
I appreciate it, Bill, and the especially for me in the criminal justice system, because my line of work is not good for sound bites and, you know, five words at a time. It's complex, it's nuanced, and you lead the way on that, and so I really appreciate these robust discussions.
And, of course, we are continuing Friday noon to 1 as we continue the tradition that really began 15 years ago with our daily show. And we have our worldwide listening still in 30. Oh, my gosh. At our website, we've got 15 years of every show, with a few exceptions for holidays and things. They're all archived there on our newly designed website, redesigned, buckmastershow.com. Very proud of that. It looks really good. And there'll be links, by the way, to these podcasts that I'm doing with Tucson International Airport, with Green Things, and Bon Voyage Travel. And I do want to point out that most of our sponsors, Laura and Tim, with a couple of exceptions, have decided, hey, Bill, we're not going away. We're staying with you.
Wonderful.
Including Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, which sponsors our live line. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com and Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Thank you to Dylan Smith with the TucsonSentinel.com and Dan Shear of the Green Valley News. Laura Conover, you are urging the residents of Tucson to stay calm, cool, and collected as the focus of immigration in this country may turn next to Arizona and Tucson.
I sure am. It's a phrase I'm repeating over and over and over again from anywhere that I can, because of a number of critical reasons. Let me say first, the concerns about what we are seeing on our TV, on our phones in other cities is completely righteous. I respect the level of stress and anxiety and fear that's going on, but we must meet that by being collect and calm about it. And there are a number of reasons why. If you think you need to disrupt an ice sweep, of which we have had none in Tucson yet that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. If you think you need to disrupt an illegal action and then you accidentally insert yourself in a federal criminal operation, a big fentanyl bust with undercover agents with warrants signed by federal judges, that is a massive error that will have dire consequences. And I'm literally just trying to keep our own people and our own local law enforcement, which includes local federal agents, DEA, ATF, trying to keep guns and drugs off of our streets.
Who are doing their daily work.
Doing their normal job. I'm trying to keep them safe. I'm trying to keep the community safe. And in so doing, we are proving that we are pro-democracy, we are pro-rule of law, and therefore we are properly running our community and town, and we don't need any federal interference from ICE sweeps, and we sure as heck don't need the President of the United States referencing the Insurrection Act. And I'm happy to get in the weeds. You know, I'm a nerd. I'm a lawyer. Mm-hmm. I'm a nerd. And I'll tell you that I'm already prepping for what I'm going to need to do if I have to go into federal court, if that happens here in Southern Arizona. And so, yes, cool, calm, mm-hmm. and collected.
Here's Tim Stellar.
What is that? You mentioned being a nerd and law details person. What does that mean in an on the ground sense? Because I mean, just spell out what I'm thinking of. I'm spelling out scenes that you've seen and I've seen from Minneapolis most recently, where there's people protesting peacefully on the sidewalk. There's people, you know, following ICE agents in cars. There's people standing close to ICE agents when they're making arrests. There's, in other words, there's every variety has been
right.
displayed other than physical attacks on ICE agents, which we obviously want to discourage. But every little bit form of resistance has been displayed there. And I'm trying to figure out which ones you're suggesting should be off limits.
Well, let me put it this way. So first of all, as an elected official and in my job, I'm not allowed to just dispense legal advice the way I used to clients, although obviously I'm the attorney for the county, but publicly, right, the community, I'm not allowed to give legal advice. But what I can say is, if you think you're observing illegal conduct on the part of a masked person, right, and you think they're behaving illegally or improperly or using force unnecessarily or whatever your concern is, you using your phone and recording from a safe distance captures a piece of evidence of what you were seeing that could be quite useful and helpful later, and you still go home that night to your loved ones. Safe. You're uninjured. You're safe. Versus, I get no evidence of whatever the activity was. If instead you are up in the face of a stranger, a masked stranger, screaming, using profanity, and shoving your face in them, that doesn't create evidence that might be useful in an investigation later. That is one obvious example. And the point here is that I'm literally just trying to keep everyone alive. It's heavy, and I'm sorry it's so heavy, but that's my goal.
Tim, turn your mic toward
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
When
the idea...
Turn it like...
There you go. The idea of collecting evidence carries within it the concept that there would eventually be potential investigations and consequences. I'm skeptical of that. I mean, the federal government, as it currently stands, is going to do everything it can to. They have said that agents have. What was it? Total immunity or total something like that? Full immunity. And so, you know, if you as a county prosecutor were to pursue a charges against an agent, wouldn't they just have that removed to federal court and then, you know, taken out of your hands? Or how does that work?
Well, and again, I don't question your concerns. You are reiterating things you've heard right out of the mouth of the Attorney General, of the Secretary for DHS, and the President. And so, of course, you are righteously concerned. But again, there's ways to capture evidence safely from a distance while you are peacefully protesting. And I want you to know that it's clear to me that the County Attorney for Hennepin County, Mary Moriarty, that's Minneapolis, AG Ellison for Minnesota, are working together to use that evidence on the ground to see what they can put together. And I'll brag that they asked for copies of the litigation that we used here when we won in federal court because the feds had stolen a murder suspect from us.
Talked about that.
Yeah.
What was it, about 6 months ago, right?
Yeah, the evidence was stolen
right.
from
it's
us,
kind of
right?
Middle of the night, let's take this prisoner. Right.
Yeah. And it's the whole idea of the state can't be robbed of evidence like that to proceed on local charges. And that's exactly what they're doing. And we have to trust that. And then we want the courts to hold the line because, again, we want to be a democracy and we want to preserve our rule of law. We want to be America. We want to take it to the courts. And that's why I say I'm going to need exhibits of you peacefully protesting because on the other side, they're going to be using exhibits of us of our community members mistaking normal operations by DPS, by DEA, by the marshals now, mistaking that for a nice sweep, and they're going to call it those examples of us being lawless and reckless, and that's what I'm going to be up against if I'm in federal court asking that agents not be masked during ICE sweeps or the president, God forbid, has declared the Insurrection
and
Act.
And there's so much distrust right now
right,
in
fair.
Our community. The rumor spread that ICE was occupying or had some kind of a two-day conference going on at one of our hotels here in town. And it turned out to have nothing to do with ICE.
Right.
It was a Arizona Highway Patrol law enforcement event that had been planned and had been going on for 2 days.
Yeah, and I think it's worth mentioning the name. Yeah. It's the Graduate Hotel. They were not hosting an ICE conference.
Right.
They were not. And I want to mention the name just to dispel that rumor.
Because yeah.
I know that you can't put genie back in the bottle, but that was not the case, and that was going around like wildfire.
And this begs the question, can a hotel, a business, and I know this is happening in Minneapolis, in the Twin Cities, signs are appearing on some businesses saying, "We will not, this is a private business, ICE agents are not welcome." Laura Conover, can you do that? Can you prevent an ICE official or agent from
patronizing the business?
Yes, patronizing a business.
I honestly don't know off the top of my head. I mean, it's private business, it's private property, so that makes me lean in a certain direction. But it is an excuse to mention again that we have where I can give legal advice to our county buildings, like our county agencies. We've said if a stranger knocks on the door and says, "I'm ICE and I want to come in." We're asking frontline staff to be very calm and cooperative and to say, "I'm going to need to see that judicial warrant, a judicial warrant with the name of a court at the top, the signature of a judge at the bottom. It's not an administrative warrant by by law enforcement, a judicial warrant, and then I'm going to immediately call the emergency number at the Pima County Attorney's Office to have our lawyers review it, and we'll be as quick as we can. And so that's, you know, and that kind of advice I know is spreading throughout the community.
Laura Conover is here. Laura is the Pima County attorney, the top legal official representing Pima County. Tim Steller's here, the award-winning columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. It's the Buckmaster Weekly Friday show. And I want to talk about our new sponsor, El Cisne, at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They present a multicultural, Laura Conover, a fine dining experience. When I say fine dining, people think, well, it's going to be real formal. You can be as formal or as casual as you want when you show up at El Cisne. I love it there. It's a multicultural Mexican heritage that at the heart and soul of El Cisne. El Cisne caters. They did a beautiful event for my fiance and I on New Year's Eve afternoon. We're of a certain age that we don't start a New Year's Eve party, Laura Conover, at 7 or 8 o'clock at night. This was a kind of late afternoon dinner, early dinner, that was beautifully catered by El Cisne. Mm-hmm. They had some lovely tamales, some chimis in chicken, and they had some in the vegan for our vegan friends. Love El Cisne, and they are at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. You're going to hear me talking them up a lot. Phil Ferrante is the owner. He's a former professional golfer. They're open daily for lunch and dinner. Tim, are you familiar with El Cisne?
I'm not, but I want to mention that the word El Cisne means... Mm-hmm.
The swan.
The swan.
And they are,
swan.
They are on Swan.
Yeah.
And
nice.
Laura, I don't know if you've been up in that neck of the woods, but I strongly suggest you pay a visit to El Cisne.
It's actually one of my brother's favorite spots because
well,
he used
go.
To live up kind of in that area, and he still goes up there. And so I must make amends. I need mm-hmm. to correct my absence.
There you go.
Done.
All right. And we are, of course, in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. By the way, we also did for one of our sponsors, this is going to be a monthly podcast, and it's pretty easy for me to talk travel. Ryan Hansen and myself will be doing these monthly podcasts, and that's going to be up at bvtravel.com. So we'll be telling you as the weeks go by about some of the things I'm up to now during the week that I'm have a little more free time to take care of some business and also do some travel. We'll be traveling a week from Monday over to a national park, Laura, that we have not been to. We'll be going to the Joshua Tree National Park.
Oh, that's great.
Over in Palm Springs. Tim, Palm Springs has a giant mountain that sits. Here's the city at basically sea level.
Right.
And then you got a mountain that's like, I don't know, I'm going to guess 10 to 11,000
feet. It's around there, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
It's got even more relief or the difference between ground and peak than there is here in Tucson.
Yeah.
It's just stunningly right in your face.
Can't wait. And I'll be writing about it because part of the redesign on the website, there's a Buckmaster blog, a travel blog, so there'll be pictures and a write-up about my travels. So that's what's coming up. Let's take a break. More with Laura Conover and Tim Steller.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
A proposed $2.67 billion regional transportation plan will be funded by a half-cent sales tax if Pima County voters approve the plan and tax next March for another 20 years. The tax rate will not increase. Funding from the 2006 voter-approved plan is expected to bring a $3.67 billion economic impact to the greater Tucson region. The sales tax investment for RTA Next will lead to a similar economic impact and more than 48,000 additional jobs over the next 20-plus years. Learn more about RTA Next funding and proposed projects at RTA Next. PimaTax.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show weekly edition. We're here noon to 1 each Friday on 1030 KVOI and live streaming at buckmastershow.com. Our Friday Focus interview, Laura Conover, Pima County Attorney. Laura joins us once every quarter on our program. Tim Steller, I try to bring in a media co-host to do my, kind of join in the interview. And Tim is here this week. We're always glad to see the award-winning columnist from the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, before we kind of move on off the ice situation, you brought up something.
I thought that was a hockey reference for a second.
We both grew up in hockey areas, me, Chicago, you, the Twin Cities. But we're talking about the question for Laura before we kind of move on to other things. Really, does the rule of law even apply anymore?
What I notice in the answers she's been giving is that she's looking it through the prism of the rule of law, which is something that I feel slipping away when I hear these agents described as having full immunity and see, the federal prosecutors being ordered to investigate the victim rather than the person who shot a person there. And so I guess I'd just like to ask that, like, to what extent do you think the rule of law still applies?
Well, of course it does. We're America. We have a constitution, and we have to in fact stand for that. If not now, when? And we cannot fight fire with fire. We've got to respond with water. We have to. And we're only having this conversation, Tim, because you are a trusted voice in our community with a big online presence. And I need to persuade you to tone down your rhetoric. And you're not going to take it from me. Lord knows I've learned that, Tim, in my time with you. But which is why I sat down at length, a lengthy luncheon this week with Chief Chad Kazmar. We had a wonderful reset and start to the new year. And I raised this with him and nudged him to see if he could persuade you. Because I want people to keep protesting peacefully and making their voices heard and known. I must have our local law enforcement safe. Mm-hmm. I'm obviously biased on that. My brother is out there still every day, right? With the Tucson Police Department, and I need us all to stay safe. And I invite you to join in on that and help me promote the rule of law.
Yeah, I don't see actually as much of I see a distinction without much difference here, because what I was saying in the column on Sunday is that should not consider, let me rephrase this, that when ICE shows up, if you feel this way, you should protest them, and not worry about distinctions among types of operations or what happened, that their behavior in Minnesota and elsewhere justifies what I call blanket resistance.
And blanket resistance is a tough phrase. I think it needs to be peaceful protest, because you're encouraging people not to care about distinguishing. And I assure you that if you accidentally run into an undercover drug and gun bust you ain't going to want no part of that.
Yeah, no.
Because you're just creating high risk for yourself and others.
Did you say, Tim Starr, you're encouraging peaceful protest?
I did say that. Yeah.
And that's a really
excellent.
Important.
That's
a really,
thank you.
Really, that's important.
Very
important. Yeah,
thanks so much.
So that's why I'm saying it's so sort of a distinction without a difference. It might be a rhetorical difference without a practical distinction. Yeah. But I think in terms of... operations. I mean, I talked about in my column resistance to immigration operations. Granted, a person, a civilian, can't look at a group of uniformed or ununiformed apparent federal officers and necessarily distinguish at the first instance. Mm-hmm. But we have been able to figure that out, defuse the situation the other day with DPS, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. And I love that you use the word, and I'm sorry to interrupt, the word defuse. Another great word is de-escalation.
Yeah.
And so I'm really thrilled that just this morning, Senators Gallego and Kelly contacted the office. They have dropped a bill called the Stop Excessive Force in Immigration Act, which is simply encouraging standards emphasizing de-escalation and limiting deadly force the way all other federal agencies and local law enforcement are trained, and to hold ICE to those same standards. And again, there again, Tim, is proof that we're trying to use the pen and not the sword, right? And that we're fighting it in the courts, we're fighting it in the legislature, and hoping that everybody joins us in rational thought there.
So I'm hearing, Tim, from Laura, tone down and emphasize peaceful. And then I heard Laura earlier in our interview say that if you see, as a citizen, if you see something that is unlawful, get a picture of it, but leave it right there. Don't get in, as Laura said, to quote Laura, in the face of
because also they're human beings who have been sent away from home to another city and directed to do tasks that they have no training for, and they're human beings, and so I'm wanting to take the temperature down so that everybody stays low risk and not high risk. And again, by no means am I diminishing the feelings, the reaction, the concerns. By no means. I'm hearing you, and I just want us to all keep coming home every night alive.
Tim, do you have anything else you'd
no,
like
to? No, let's move on.
Okay, let's move on. Some good news, a hopeful sign: fentanyl-related deaths have been trending down in Pima County. But then we heard this news this week that the Trump administration had cut off basically all funding to groups that try to rehab folks and prevention efforts, but that was walked back, and I guess the funding is still there at this point.
Well, I hope so, Bill. It's all I can say. I hope so, because once again, whether it's funding for victim services, whether it's funding for mental health, whether it's funding for substance use disorder or overdose prevention, it all makes sense. It's all working. And I don't understand how all of that somehow doesn't align with the president's values. And to the extent that he heard the collective gasp across the nation on that, to keep fentanyl a number one important, well-funded prevention treatment, we've got to have it. And so I hope to heavens they heard.
Tim?
Can I move on to another topic?
Sure.
Yeah,
please.
Okay. So I wrote recently, and there was a case that prompted me. This was a few weeks ago. There was an incident in which a man walked into a Circle K at Oracle and I think Limberlust in that area, saw somebody behind the counter stealing cigarettes, and there ensued between this customer who walked in and the person who was stealing the cigarettes an altercation. The shoplifter died. Your office has now charged the other man with manslaughter. That is, you've gotten a grand jury indictment for manslaughter.
Right.
So I guess this brings up this question. There have been brazen out in the open shoplifting, and you've said in the past that people shouldn't get involved. Certainly this is a case that would tell anyone, if you want to stay out of trouble, don't get involved. What should people be doing?
Well, I really appreciate the question, because in the larger picture, I know that businesses, employees, and customers are frustrated and discouraged and startled and demoralized when they see someone come in and just kind of openly steal and walk back out. And what I need the community to understand is that, again, in 2026, all of this is recorded and surveilled on really high quality camera equipment, so that, again, it's a theme here, apparently, no one gets injured, everybody stays alive, you know, God help us, no one loses their life over a package of diapers or cigarettes or whatever it is. And then they're kind of packaged, you know, it's easy to, it's so high quality, you can pick up any theft along the county, and then it's packaged together in what's called organized retail theft. When you do it more than once, and you do it over a dollar figure, and we're prosecuting hundreds of those felonies every year. And holding to account, right? If you got to go to prison, we're holding to account for the harm you're causing. We're also getting at the root cause. There's, you know, how often is substance use disorder at the base root of almost all of these? Getting people into treatment to get at the root cause, to stop the cycle, break the cycle. But again, everybody stays safe, goes home uninjured. And so I know it looks terrible, but I tell you, these employees are following their orders to do not engage, do not put your life at risk. It's absolutely not worth it. And then we prosecute safely.
But not only, the thing that the customer can't see,
right,
is that there may be a case building against this person, right?
Exactly. So, and you really wouldn't know, which is why I got to keep saying it.
Right. So, yeah. For example, this man who died doing shoplifting cigarettes, we don't know, but theoretically, there could have been that Circle K could have been saving up video of him and getting ready to present your office with a case.
Mm. Right. That would be the general core. I don't know, you know, I don't know this particular one, but yes, generally speaking, right. And not just the Circle K, but their image is collected. So it's, if he's moving around and stealing from the Target up the road, and then also, that's also all collected.
Can that be made into one case?
100%.
Okay. So theoretically, if they're, and I know they are having meetings, I think monthly, there's a essentially retail theft group,
right,
that meets.
Right. Yeah.
So theoretically they can share. Yeah. Okay. So they can share the identity of the same person and then together bring a case to your office.
Absolutely. And it's not just the surveillance cameras. There's high level training now that, you know, you kind of give people nicknames so that it all goes into the same file, like, you know, the right eye scar or whatever it is you notice that, you know, that makes them sort of distinguishable. And there's apps on the employees' phones to take a picture of what the barcode of what was stolen, and then it's automatically uploaded. It's very modern. It's impressive.
Laura Conover is here, Pima County Attorney, and I've just made an executive decision, Laura, because I'm the quarterback,
yes,
and manage the time I want to do it because it's my show. I've decided to keep you for segment number 3, which will be coming up after the break. And that means that's normally the segment, Tim, that I talk with my media co-host, but I'm going to set that up, and Laura can actually join in if she has anything to say. You were mentioning your column.
Always mentioning my column. Self-promoter.
Of Wednesday, yeah, got some of the most reaction in your almost 25 years here in town. And what was that about?
So it's about Prop 312. This is a little complicated, so bear with me.
Okay.
These are complaints made under a new law by residents who say that the cities or counties are not enforcing public nuisance laws, that is, against people doing drugs publicly.
This is a state law.
Yeah, right. So voters passed it as Prop 312 in 2024. It set up a system for people to make claims against cities and counties if they think they are not enforcing these laws as a pattern, and if this person suffered financial damages. In other words, they had to put up a new fence. That's a common one. Buy security cameras, also a common complaint. Or even if, in the case of bigger commercial properties, you know, start to hire roving patrols and that sort of thing, a very big expense. So what I found was, and this is only through October 15th, they did not, the Department of Revenue has not yet made public the complaints after that, but there had been 24 complaints made under this new law. 15 of the 24 were made against the city of Tucson. This is a statewide thing. So 62.5% of the complaints made at all were against Tucson, although Tucson only has 7% of the state's population. So obviously it's something that affects Tucson disproportionately.
Were each of the complaints rejected?
Yes. So first, a lot of the complaints were never made correctly. So not all of them even made it to the city. But of those that did, they've rejected everyone. In fact, combining all the complaints they've received so far, the city tells me they've received 9, and they've rejected all of them. And they've not just rejected all of them on a detailed basis about the individual case, but they also say the law is unconstitutional under Arizona's constitution.
Were any submitted to the county that you know about? Laura Conover?
I think we did ask if any were submitted to the county, and I feel almost certain that the response that we sent to Tim was just one.
Yep.
Just one.
One, and I believe it was rejected. I do not remember the particulars of that. I didn't go into Pima County since it seemed to be a relatively small number.
And the only problem with me weighing in is just that all those city complaints go to the city attorney's office, and so it's outside my...
I wonder if the city continues to reject these, whether this... Do they have a recourse? Does the person that... Does it connect... Could this eventually go to the state Supreme Court?
Yeah. So, I mean, the law apparently... I know. Maybe you could explain this to me. The city... in their rejection letters, tells the complainants that you may file a special action in Pima County Superior Court to contest this. What's the difference between a special action and a lawsuit? Or is a special action just a form of a lawsuit?
That's right. Yeah. I think the easiest way to say is it's an avenue of where the Superior Court could review what has occurred.
Right.
An opportunity to bring before a judge whether the rejection seems to be lawful under this brand new law.
Got it.
That actually begs even another question, Tim and Laura, about if this were to go to the Arizona Supreme Court. Gee, this is like legal talk 101, right? If this goes to the Arizona Supreme Court, this was a voter-passed initiative. Can the court, the highest court in Arizona, overrule a legally passed initiative?
I mean, isn't it true they can find parts of it? Initiatives unconstitutional. Sure. Not necessarily the whole initiative, but they can look at an individual part of it and say that's unconstitutional, can't they?
I think that's right. And my only confusion right now is that actually I thought it was a piece of legislation, not a voter initiative. So I could just be, but that could be my foggy memory.
It was Prop 312. We passed it 59-41% in 2024. It's now, I don't have the statute number, but it's now in state statutes. The city there is saying, you know, basically, well, sue us.
Right.
And that's, you know, kind of forcing the resident to take a financial leap. Although I contacted the Goldwater Institute on this and asked them about it, because they had been pushing Prop 312. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, you know, they got the big bucks and they got lawyers. I'm sure they're chomping at the bit to take one of these cases and go after the city. They'd love to go after the city of Tucson and Pima County too.
All right. Segment 3 is coming up with Laura Conover and Tim Steller. It's Buckmaster on a Friday. Be right back.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It's Buckmaster on a Friday, our weekly show here. Brendan Kraft coming up with some very good bump music. You had, that was Stay By Me, and the artist...
is Henri.
Henri?
Hmm. Japanese. Old.
Sounds like 70s?
Pop.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sounds like what we would have heard in the late 70s.
Well,
or something.
Brendan knows I have a little bit of an old school feel to me when it comes to music. So if he hits, maybe we'll even go into the 60s, which I'm particularly strong in my musical knowledge. Laura Conover is here, Pima County Attorney. She's the chief legal officer for the county. Tim Steller works as a columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, and he's been toiling away at the Star for about 25 years, right, Tim?
More than that. I'm going on 30.
Wow.
Wow.
No. Columnist only since 2013, so okay, that's 12 years.
We have a listener who's very concerned, and I don't blame the listener. It's been 16 years, the listener says, since 16 months,
thank God.
That's okay. Big different. Sorry. Oh, I was thinking about, we're talking about how many years. Okay. Anyway, it's been 16 months since a bicyclist from Amato, Arizona, Roberto Del Angela, was rendered paralyzed after being struck by a vehicle. No charges have been brought against the man accused of being behind the wheel, and the guy, I guess, admitted that he struck the cyclist and left the scene, then admitted to smoking pot. Is this still on the radar of the Pima County Attorney's Office?
Yes, very much, Bill, and I appreciate the question. It's not at all out of sight, out of mind, and I feel like this happens a lot on our vehicular cases because blood is taken in order to test for alcohol or drugs, and depending on which lab it's sent to, there's a very long wait often. That's resources, law enforcement resources. And then I'll also say, just generally speaking, when there are injuries, it's very important to study voluminous medical records carefully and privately, because it affects whether it's a lower charge or a much higher felony charge. And so in order to get it, you know, we always say we got to get it right and not rushed. I have been told that that the delivery of all of that evidence is just still not quite complete yet. And it requires a lot of patience. in our office, patients by law enforcement, and more than anything, patients by a victim and next of kin and family and loved ones. And it's hard. It's just really hard to have to wait and be patient.
Are deaths by pedestrian deaths lower this year? Have you heard that? Tim, I know you've written about this too. It's very dangerous.
I can't remember whether in Tucson. So yeah. She represents the county, of course. Mm. And I know in Tucson they ended up being pretty high this year. They were around the same as the previous year.
Yeah, it's very dangerous out there.
I think, unfortunately, the stats I saw at the end of the year showed that it's still, you know, too high in Tucson. And I'll say that, you know, Chandrea Thomas is here with me, our communications director, and she's been working with all area law enforcement to start a series of public service announcements, PSAs, on speeding, on texting, on distracted driving, on road rage, on racing, on all of the stuff that's making our streets unsafe. And I've also noticed, and I forgot to ask Chief Kazmar earlier this week, but I've noticed an uptick on motors units monitoring traffic and speed, which I hadn't seen, you know, like that since my childhood, really. So, and that's welcome. That's really welcome.
He will be here, by the way, 3 weeks from this Friday.
Oh,
so
excellent.
We will ask him. Good. And about homicides, how are we doing in that area?
Well, as Tim pointed out, I represent the whole county. Mm-hmm. And so like all, I don't know, 15 agencies. And again, we are at a near 50% reduction from the spike.
Down 50%.
Down 50%. Every marker of violent crime is down 50%, except domestic violence. That is a persistent, unacceptable, frustrating. And so it's getting a lot of our attention in our office, in victim services. But every other marker of violent crime and homicide is markedly down from that spike. And it's a huge relief. A huge tribute to law enforcement and the incredible people who work at the Pima County Attorney's Office.
Is that just is this a cyclical thing? Do we have is a spike inherently going to go down, or why would that have happened?
Well, I'm not a sociologist, but whoever's going to study this, I know, but the whole nation spiked really hard at the same time as COVID. And that's going to get studied. I mean, it's pretty obvious, you know, some of it's pretty obvious, right? Isolating is bad, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the level of stress was through the roof. Mm. That's just bad for crime. But the hard work that has gone in, I mean, the really hard work that I've witnessed at TPD in particular, and in my office, you know, increased staffing, increased collaboration, going after things as a think tank, you know, using data to go after the hot spots instead of kind of a scattershot approach is paying off. It's paying off.
All right. About a minute left. First of all, Laura, thank you very much for being with
us,
okay? Tim, I want to talk a little bit with Mike Ortega, and I'll talk a little bit more with him. Actually, not a little bit, for a whole show. Yeah,
okay.
A lot of bit. Next Friday, he will be our Friday Focus interview, because we've got that RTA election, which is coming up in March, and you're going to be involved with some kind of a TV event at my old stomping grounds.
Well, not literally your old stomping grounds, because it's going to be the new building.
Oh,
it's going to be at the new building for AZPM.
I've driven by it. But
first or second event they've
had
there.
I have not stepped foot in it.
Yeah, Thursday night. You can go to azpm.org/pressroom.
Okay.
It's an event at which Mike Ortega and General Maxwell, Maxwell,
right,
will be on the stage, as will I, a couple other journalists, and a host. And essentially, you know, pressing them on the questions about the upcoming RTA election.
Okay.
You can get, you have to RSVP, but I think, but it's free.
Okay.
At that URL.
And then
URL.
The next day, we'll have Mike Ortega here. We'll ask him how it went.
Right. He might be feeling beat up and worn out after I get done with him.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Great to see you. Thanks for coming in. And again, Laura Conover, a pleasure. And we'll catch up with you in the spring.
Thank you both so much.
Thanks very much. Okay, coming up next, Weekend Watch with our sister station, 101.7 The Drive. What's going on in Tucson this weekend? Be right back.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun, covering your hometown.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Attend an upcoming question and answer session hosted by the Regional Transportation Authority to learn more about the proposed $2.67 billion regional transportation plan voters will consider next March. The proposed improvements, if approved, will reduce congestion and support cleaner air, enhance network reliability, safety, and efficiency. A half-cent tax to fund RTA Next, if approved, will replace the current tax, resulting in no change in the current tax rate. The Q&A sessions, which are being held across the region, include in-person and virtual events. Learn more or sign up at RTANext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster, Friday, January 23rd at noon. We talk with Mike Ortega. Mr. Ortega is the interim executive director of the Pima Association of Governments and the Regional Transportation Authority. Then Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive on 1030 KVOI, Tucson's only source for live local news and talk. All right, going back in time, Jay and the Americans, come a little bit closer from probably 1966, I am guessing. Brendan, you can double check me on that. Time for
64.
I was still in high school. Time for Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Only about a three-hour drive over there. You have a terrific time in the land of enchantment. Leslie Lois is with us. Leslie from 101.7 The Drive does such a great job. Leslie, what's going on this weekend?
Well, you were just talking about going back in time, and that's exactly what's happening at Hotel Congress this weekend, because it's Dillinger Day.
I forgot it. Every January.
Yes. Yeah. So this is kind of cool. So tonight there's actually a speakeasy going on at Hotel Congress. I don't know all the details, but I know that's happening tonight. And then tomorrow from 9 to 3, they're doing all these reenactments. There's going to be vintage car shows, a walking tour of downtown, a fully restored Tucson fire truck that's from the 1934 fire is going to be there.
Yeah, there was a fire at the Hotel Congress, yeah. And that's what eventually led to the downfall of the big guy, John Dillinger, being arrested here in town.
Yes, and speaking of going back in time, I think this could be a great show. So Pink Martini is happening with the Tucson Symphony Orchestra. The music just sounds so fun. It's happening tomorrow at 7:30, and there's also a show at 2 o'clock on Sunday at the Linda Ronstadt Music Hall.
Sure.
Tickets started at about $30 for that. And speaking of Pink, you remember the Pink Panther movies, right?
Oh, of course.
Oh, my gosh. They're showing them at 11 o'clock tomorrow at the Loft Cinemas. So I think that would be really fun to go see. Mm-hmm. Peter Sellers, oh, come on.
I know.
Also, get ready to do some gem shows coming. So Rockin' Materials is happening tomorrow and Sunday at the Arizona Sonoran Desert Museum. And yeah, you can do shop minerals, fossils, alongside hands-on activities for all ages. This could be a beautiful weekend to be outside too. And if you're looking for a forever home for a pet, there's an adoption event happening at the Arizona Rescue Life that's happening 10 to 2 tomorrow. Yeah, you can bring home some pets, maybe. It's going to happen at Dogs and Donuts. I love the name of that.
Yeah.
7743 East Broadway. It is free to attend, but of course you want to bring money for
sure.
Adoption.
Thank you, Leslie. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, too.
The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Thanks, Brendan Kraft, on the other side of the glass. Great show. Have a great week, everybody.